Good evening. This is the Finance and Facilities Committee, March 11, 2013, and it's about 6:07, a little bit after 6 o'clock this evening here. So if you would, just take a moment, review and approval of minutes from the February 25, 2013 meeting. Let me know if they meet with your approval. Okay. Everybody is in agreement on the minutes. So the first item, and I just wanted to mention, we have eight items on this agenda this evening, as well as Mike is going to be presenting his three-year technology plan. So we do need to move rather quickly through the meeting, and I've got to allow Mike at least a half an hour for his three technology items. So the first order of business then this evening will be the Churchill intercom system, the replacement of that. As you know, we've put together a long-term capital projects list over the past several years, and we use this annually to make decisions in terms of where our commitments are going to be for dollars for the upcoming summer. Matter of fact, your next two items will be items that have been listed on the capital projects plan, and this item here, the Churchill intercom replacement, system replacement, was earlier identified as something that we'd like to bring forward for this year. And we have included I budgeted around $50,000 for these next two recommendations. So what Dave has done is he has met with Sound Incorporated. That's a company that does a lot of work with school districts. That is essentially a proprietary system, and they have done a lot of work with this district over the years, both new system replacement or implementation, and then just work when we need something done. So over the past several years, we've had ongoing issues. As you may know, the intercom systems are a number of years old. We are looking to begin replacing them, and our recommendation is to start at Churchill for this coming summer. That seems to be the one that we've had the most issues with. Dave, I think we spent $3,000 to $5,000 earlier this year on work. So, and we have been told that essentially our systems, these systems, have reached the end of their useful life. So we are bringing you a recommendation, looking for your support this evening, to begin replacement of all those intercom systems. We'd like to start at Churchill, and the approximate cost for that replacement will be about $26,000. So can I answer any questions for you?
What exactly, when you say they're replacing it, what are they replacing?
They're replacing all the master boards, all the ability to speak throughout the building, speakers. Dave, anything else yet?
This system actually controls all the master clocks in all the classrooms. So when there's time updates, it controls that. Intercoms throughout all the rooms, and then every room has an emergency call button that it will replace that as well.
So it's replacing switches, speakers,
virtually everything. Everything that's necessary to operate that system. As I mentioned earlier, we have had breakdowns where they may be down for a few days just because I think for whatever reason the system went down. And I know that principals, the office, they use these systems daily throughout the school day. So that would be our recommendation for implementation for this summer. And as I've indicated, we have budgeted for that for this project.
Bob, I'm in favor of this. What, just out of curiosity, how old is that system?
We're thinking it's
97. Probably with
the referendum. So that's 17 years. Yeah. And what we're finding with a lot of things that were replaced in a 97 referendum is that they have essentially hit their useful life, the end of their useful life. So we're seeing a lot of these types of recommendations that are going to have, the board's going to need to address over the next couple of years. Okay. You know, we've talked about this intercom system. We're talking about fire panels. Our HVAC controls are aging and are going to need to be replaced. And although these aren't too significant in terms of cost, there are other items that are going to be coming down the road that are going to be rather significant.
Now, these are hardwired systems. Are you reusing the wiring, or is this RF-based? I mean, what is it?
It's going to be all new wiring, Cat5 cable and coax cable.
Well, you already have it all run through to every classroom already.
I don't think the new stuff's going to
be. Well, so that old stuff is probably the old Cat3 wiring, 2 prong, so if you're going to want Cat5, you probably wouldn't find that one. It's
Okay, I thought every room already had.
It does, but it's internal wiring that routes back to a switch that's in the classroom, and then that's wired back by fiber to the core.
Right. So how much of this is product and how much is service?
Do you have any idea?
I guess there's a lot more you're going to do than just the speakers and the clocks in the rooms if you're going to wire stuff. Is it other? Are you running DOE?
Yeah.
You know, if you eventually need to put cameras in every classroom, things like that. I mean,
I think the system kind of
spins out. Cameras in every classroom.
Well, you can add security system things to the system, but I think with the new A-phone system that we have, it would be tied into that versus this is more for announcements and. The master clock system. It's not broken down in there.
Okay. Steve, if you would like, we can put together some information for you and email it out to you.
I'm just curious.
Well, they're good questions. And we'll
I just mean, you know, everything's just sitting on the network now. That's
sure.
It just sounds like you're putting new devices at either end, and you're saying you need Cat5 wiring that didn't exist in most of whatever rooms didn't have it already. So the current system does run off of Ethernet?
One system is standard copper wire.
Okay. So you need to run Ethernet to every room for this?
I think they're just looking to update the cabling. Cat5 will become standard.
Well, yeah, Cat5.
They get noisy again.
Yeah.
So it gives them more flexibility, more lines to split out if they need to. I wasn't involved in the design of this, so
okay.
I'm just kind of going off what I'm hearing.
Right. I mean, it's just like the Cisco phone system. It's just another node on the network. You know, it's just a phone that's a little computer.
Yeah, I don't want to put Mike on the spot.
Yeah, that's fine.
This was Dave and I.
Okay.
So the question is how much for product and how much for service?
Right, but it's what you're doing is really wiring every room now for Cat5 Ethernet. And I just, what are the things in the next 5 years are you going to want to put in there? Obviously, we've got Wi-Fi to every room for other educational needs. I just didn't know there's other things that need to be hardwired that might need that.
Well, why don't we look into that, and if we can get some updates to this board report, we'll make them when we bring this back to the board.
Is it battery backup too, or what happens if I think of safety, power goes out. I mean, I don't know what happens to that.
I think there is some battery backup, but how long it goes for, I'm not exactly sure.
Right now, we do have a separate battery backup that just runs the old sound system. Where we can, we tie it into the UPS that also powers the core switches and those sorts of things, but it just depends on the distance between where that equipment is and where the UPS is. But we do have a backup on it, and we refresh those annually because they get regular use there, so the batteries do run down. But we do have them on their own standalone battery, or where we can, we tie them into the existing UPS in the set box.
Is this going out for bid?
No, this is this system is put together by Sound Incorporated, and it's vendor specific. We didn't intend to take this out of bid.
Well, does every room already have a Cisco speaker handset?
No.
Okay.
It's got a handset, but not a speaker.
Is that the intercom system that you can then broadcast something? So this is a totally separate speaker sitting up there, sitting on Ethernet, that's just for broadcasting and updating the clock.
See the clock on the wall there?
Yeah.
That's what it is. And then there's an emergency call button.
Right below
it. But that's where it's all synced back to the sound box
right in
the MBS. So it's a standalone system, but it's wired in through that. In every classroom in the district has that exact system.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, I understand you might want a separate network for that. I just, because we had talked before when you had talked about panic switches. Is this the same?
No, there's something.
Something where we said, what about the RF network we already installed for the Motorola turbo system? Is that something? We have to install a whole other RF system for that. But this is something different.
Something completely different. Dan, did you have a question?
Isn't it over $25,000 threshold or $10,000? I'm not quite sure. Because I think of like the Hadley sound system we did in the theater.
Right.
Someone did an evaluation of it, and then
we took it out
to bid. Yeah. So why don't we do that?
I checked with the attorneys, and because this is computer related, if there's an exclusion under the bidding requirements that if it has something to do with technology, you can exclude that from the bidding requirements. So that's the approach that we took with this.
But is it, I mean, are there multiple vendors? I mean, could we get some costs for this?
You know, we have not done that because of our relationship with this vendor and that he's done work in the district for a number of years. It's their existing system now. I suppose we could call in another vendor and see if they would be willing or would give us a price on it. That would be something we'd have to take a look at.
That'd be my recommendation. I don't know how the rest of the finance committee is, but I prefer to see this.
One of my concerns, too, is just getting a probably would need some architectural involvement in terms of creating those bid documents or engineers or something along those lines, too. So,
the guys that did have the was one of the bidders, and they wrote, they said, here's what you need. Looks like these guys, I mean, they must have given something like $26,000. This is what it all is.
They did. They identified exactly what was entailed in the installation.
So this is similar to something in the past when we went ahead and it was a very specific bid. It was a very specific item that we wanted. But then, Bob, you went out and looked for other vendors who could deliver that something to the same specifications as opposed to doing a specification, do a bid, and then bring those products back. Are you comfortable with that, just looking at other vendors who might have the same?
Yeah, I think it'd be good to at least, you know, have a comparison at least to make sure that we'll get the
best price.
Okay. So we'll contact some local vendors to see if they'd be willing to come in and take a look at this system replacement. More than likely, you won't see this back before you for some time, then, just so you're aware.
What's the timing on this, Bob?
Well, it was to be completed during the summer of this summer. So I don't know exactly what the timing would be now that we're in the middle of March. So.
So, Bob, one of the things that you'd need to find out from is this: who's the Sound Incorporated, who we've worked with in the past. What we'd need to find out from them is what ordering time is, and we're looking at doing one school this summer. So, what's the time frame for getting that one school done?
Okay. Any other questions on this item?
Bob, if we do this, are you telling me that it's unlikely that we'll be able to have this done?
I don't want to make that type of comment. That really was not my intention here. We've dealt with this vendor on numerous occasions, has done a lot of work for us in the district here, and this was just a recommendation that we were bringing to you. If the finance committee is uncomfortable with that, then we'll look to alternatives and we'll contact some other vendors and see what the time frame is, what the design would be, and so forth.
I'm just curious, you know, a Greenfield school, you're building a brand new building, you get wired all Cat 5 every room. What do you normally install for your intercom? Is it still a separate system with its own backup? Okay. That's fine. I'm just curious.
That's what I did in 1998 when I was going to start going to the school. The sound system was totally separate from any other intercom.
Right.
And then also one thing to consider is that you have five campuses, and if you're going to have to eventually replace them all for the ease of maintenance and overall management of them, they should be all of the same.
Right. No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Vendor A, vendor B, and then you don't have the crossover of people understanding how the systems work as they move from building to building. So that's just another cautionary thing is that, you know, sometimes these systems are proprietary for that reason, so that then you have a common system throughout all your buildings.
That was one of the reasons that we, a couple of years ago, when Mike and I were meeting with vendors on security cameras and so forth, is we chose ADT, a national vendor, rather than going with sort of contractor, local contractor A, B, or C, is that we could get some commonality amongst all of our buildings for management purposes.
Yeah, I just don't know what the trends are. You know, if you're building a house, you do it via RF or something, if we already had the wires, or, I'm assuming it's not like, in Greece where they're sitting there putting, there's some big console with microphone, you know, making the announcements, but I yeah.
So we'll do that then, and we'll. I don't know if we'll get you an update before the next finance committee or as when the next finance committee comes up, but we'll certainly work in that direction. Okay. Any other questions then? Okay. The next order of business then tonight is the Simplex Grinnell Fire Panel Service Contract. And what we've done is, just to give you an example, we had a leak at Lincoln earlier this year, I'm going to say in January or so, and due to a pipe, we had some significant damage to the system over in at Lincoln, and that has now been replaced, and it was replaced for about $16,000-$17,000. So what we're looking to do now is we're bringing you a recommendation that will run the district $29,705 for a three-year contract that includes all of our buildings, and Simplex will come out. They will test and balance the system. They will maintain the system. As a little background information, we have spent almost $35,000 a year over the past few years maintaining these systems. So this is another one of these items that was probably installed around 1997. It's 15, 16, 17 years old, and replacement parts are becoming difficult to find, and the systems are aging and really are in need of replacement. So we've met with Simplex, who is a proprietary type of vendor, and they do this work throughout all different types of systems, municipal work, commercial work, whatever the case may be. So that's our recommendation, that we would like to sign a contract with these folks. Total cost is $89,115 over a three-year period, and as previously stated, approximately $29,700 per year. And that is under what we're currently spending, sort of as a pay-as-you-go basis.
And that's for all buildings?
For all five buildings. Well, actually six buildings. It includes CSO also. Any questions?
One thing I'm kind of curious on here, you know, you say some of this stuff is 25 years old. I'm a little concerned with this report because I look at it from the standpoint of if I had a 25-year-old car, the last 3 years of its life could be very expensive. So I'm wondering, is it going to be cheaper, you know, if you want something, you know, what happens after 3 years when it's not new equipment? So is it just going to get more expensive, more expensive, more expensive? Would it instead be cheaper to, you know, replace it? I'm looking at like the cost of ownership.
Sure.
And so that's just when I just look at this, that's one of the things that I have concern.
Well, they'll be maintaining it for perpetuity. I know this is only a three-year agreement, but that would be we would intend to continue to move this contract forward.
All right, so I guess if I look at 25 years times 30,000, that's $750,000. Cheaper just to buy a new system for, I don't know, $150,000 and then it lasts for 25 years.
There is that point on the capital projects plan.
That's correct.
There is a point in time, right, where beyond this three-year period where replacement of those will be brought forward. But in looking at the priorities of the capital projects, that time is not now. Those fire panels can go longer. Now, we did have to replace one in an emergency situation, which, you know, can happen. But according to you guys and looking at the capital projects, we don't need to replace these yet. And so getting a three-year agreement, which saves us a little bit of money over the course of the 3 years, is a better deal than trying to go as we go.
And it is on the capital projects plan.
So there's, I'll call it, one-time bad failures versus common maintenance that may have the past 3 years go up. Or maybe you look at the last 10 years to kind of even that, or you take that out. I just wonder, how do you know? I mean, yeah, when you compare it to those one-time expenditures, it's cheaper. But, you know, again, this is, I know you said proprietary equipment, but are there other service vendors that, you know, we can competitive bid or look at?
Simplex is one of the premier outfits out there. I'm sure there are other companies that do this same type of work, but this is one of the premier companies, and again, this is something that we took a look at as we did with ADT, when we look for someone that has a national presence and can maintain these for a number of years for us. we've gotten away from, you know, when we came here, you know, a number of years ago, there were little bits and pieces of security type of equipment. The HVAC units, meaning the central controls, everything was kind of hodgepodge together. We're trying to bring recommendations where everything is blended together or brought together as a single recommendation instead of doing things, oh, just for Churchill and then somebody else in the course, blending somebody else in Hadley or whatever the case may be. We try to bundle all of our services for a particular type of product or category so that we have some consistency amongst all of our buildings and so that they're more manageable.
It still feels like, talk about the lowest qualified building. So you've identified someone that's not a service, but you know, I don't know what the trade-off is. I don't know if this is. I just, you know, are they? Do they know about our past 3-year history and therefore they're giving us this price based on that versus someone else coming in and may have it?
Simplex has been with us. Phyllis, any idea?
I think those, again, I think the fire panels were put in 97. And again, it's a proprietary, so if you've got Simplex panels, only Simplex can manage them. Or you have to tear everything out and get Johnson Controls in, or tear it out and put in Siemens. I mean, that's how proprietary they are. So, you know, when you're talking about replacing these systems, it's large dollars. And you probably would always have a maintenance contract of some kind in place, whether it was brand new equipment or, you know, 10-year-old equipment. And I would venture to say that there would probably be a pricing scale on that. But you really want somebody to come in and actually test these and inspect them of it so that they can catch them before the canal. You're not going to catch water pouring into it. But the testing and inspection process puts it into a routine where you can get ahead of it and know when you're going to, you know, and you need that skill.
And we are required to have these tested at least annually, if not semi-annually.
Bob, what's the useful life? Useful life of this equipment?
You know, 15, 20, and in this case, do we think some of them are 25 years old, at least pieces of them? So, I guess around 15 or 20 years.
Okay. So we're getting close to that.
Right.
Useful life.
And this for $30,000, this allows us to extend that useful life for another 3 years.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, proprietary. I mean, I know we have a number of manufacturing equipment that the guys have gotten so frustrated with hodgepodge controls that they've said they won't let anything in the door unless it's Johnson Controls. Hopefully, when the replacement is done, you can have a vendor that is a little more easier to get replacement parts, a more common service.
You know, and that can be difficult because of the proprietary nature of this equipment. As I was mentioning earlier, our HVAC controls. There's only one vendor out there, Convergent Technologies. You'll see bills almost monthly where they're coming out and managing those controls because something was wrong with the scheduling or something. So when you move to this type of system, generally it's to provide long-term protection to the district, and this is just another instance of that.
Well, I guess maybe to make a comparison, and you guys will help me if this is a bad comparison, that we might buy, Mike looks at two different vendors for a product that he's going to bring forward, and he has the specs on the product, as opposed to the product being this product is created by this company,
right,
and they're all a little bit separate. It sounds like that's what's the case here.
Yeah, other vendors can work on the system. They can't buy the parts. The fire system basically is the same. It's just that they're not allowed to buy the same parts without parts.
Hmm.
So it really hampers them. We can work on the system. Other companies could diagnose it, but they wouldn't be able to buy the parts for us.
So they wouldn't be able to do the fix.
They wouldn't, right.
Who's going to be the manufacturer of the PA system, the intercom replacement?
It's Rollins.
It looks like, you know, Tyco has, or Simplex sells that too as part of their whole system, a digital system where it's got fire stuff and then a PA. That's what I didn't know. That's what I was saying. If you're looking at all that stuff,
is there synergy?
It's better to put in something newer that's network based than you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you have the network to the room,
mm-hmm,
there's a lot of things you can do.
And then Tyco, that's, you know, that's a large holding company.
Right. They bought a lot of companies. Simplex is just one of their holdings. That's what, but that's why I'm just curious about these panels. But if you go there, right under there, they say, you know, PA Intercom, along with their digital. Other stuff. That's why I was just curious. So, as long as you're replacing all that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other
Michael
questions?
Michael asked Tyco what it would cost to put in the. A new PA system at the same time.
As they put in the fire.
Doing other stuff. And then you get another bid, Eston Incorporated.
Okay. So we'll take a look at that then. Any other questions on that item? Then we're going to move on to the 2012-13 amended budget. As you know, you passed the budget back in August for this fiscal year, and we've determined a need to amend that budget. And basically what has changed are a couple of things. I took a wrong function code and exceeded the 5% cost cap limitation. So what we're doing now is just making an amendment to the budget where we're moving some technology, or actually copier expenses, from internal services to technology services that does not have a cost cap. In addition to that, we're making some changes. Basically, those changes are indicated in the report here, in that we're increasing revenues by approximately $735,000, and then it talks about increasing local revenues. That's the primary reason for that is the we're needing to increase revenues as well as expenditures associated with the food service program. We're looking to increase state revenues by approximately $37,000, and then federal revenues are going up approximately $297,000, which were allocations that we received after the this 2012-13 budget was adopted. That's on the revenue side. On the expenditure side, we're looking to increase expenditures by approximately $436,000. Again, the majority of that is in purchase services, and that is because of the increased cost associated with the food service program. And then I've noted some other salaries are going up about $52,000. Benefits went up about $30,000. Again, the purchase services, approximately $420,000. Supplies and materials were decreased by $64,000. Capital expenditures decreased slightly, and then other expenditures were increased by approximately $9,800. Overall, the deficit has been reduced from $2.2 million to approximately $1,913,000. And this will follow the same process that we have typically, that the regular budget process follows. We'll be bringing this back to the board for discussion at the first meeting in April. We then go out for posting, and then we'll bring it back to the board for adoption in May once it's been posted for 30 days in a publication of general circulation.
Cut me out a little bit. We knew that lunch revenue was going to increase because of the lunch program. So what are you saying it increased by $400,000 more than we thought?
But it was offset by expenses.
That's correct.
It's just the numbers on both ends went up.
No, I understand. But in the budget, I know there was I remember seeing a revenue line item for lunches.
You did.
There was Hadley. I think we had
there's some milk money in there.
Hadley.
Right.
But we were going to get more from the schools. So what...
Well, I think we've had higher service. We've had higher service than we expected at the beginning of the year, too.
And this is our first year with the National School Lunch Program, so we really didn't have, we didn't know where our revenue was going to go.
I just was curious.
I think we've more than doubled what we expected, right?
Yeah, we doubled the participation that we expected, but we also didn't know where the state and federal reimbursement program amount would be. So this now reflects based on what we've been getting in projecting forward. So it's better both revenue and expenditure look at than what we get in the original budget that's adopted in August. So, again, we took this opportunity to make those numbers look closer to real than carrying forward the projections.
Okay. We probably didn't have to do that, but because we were bringing you an amended budget, we just thought, you know what, let's do it all. Let's recognize all the additional revenues as well as expenditures.
I think my wife finds a lot more than I would.
Are there two issues here?
Just two
saying we have different numbers than what we thought we'd budget versus the actuals are a certain percentage more than last year's actuals. Is that because one of these says something if you go over 5% more than last year's?
That was
under
the
specific prior year actual expenditure.
That's the administrative cost.
That's the administrative cost cap.
Yeah, okay.
And that identifies six specific function codes within the budget that you cannot exceed last year's expenditure
right.
by more than 5%.
But yeah. that's the only budget item.
But that's the only one related right. to specific.
And that's what required us then to do a formal adjustment.
Yes.
And then, but the lunch is really just you're saying, you know, we were wrong on our
it's
budget.
It's an accurate,
numbers.
It's a better
right.
reflection.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
It's also reflecting what we're, you know, we have pared back the state revenues based on what we were hearing last spring, but we know we're going to get, you know, so we kind of like made those kind of adjustments also. And we reflected all the final grant allocations because, you know, we're working on a budget and setting it, giving you a budget to look at and to adopt in August, and we don't even know what the final state allocations are going to be. So this now reflects that being updated
okay.
also.
And normally what you'd see is in, when we would reconcile the budget at the end of the year, you'd see those changes
right.
rather than at this point in time of the year. If we
you'd see it on the actual side compared to budget versus we're now adjusting the budget so the budget actually comes closer to that.
Any other questions on that item? Then the next item on the agenda is the 2013-14 student fees, and this is something that we typically bring to the Finance Committee and ultimately to the Board for approval. And what we're doing is we're making a recommendation and looking for the Finance Committee support, and that we hold student fees at this year's existing level. As a matter of fact, that has been those fees have been in place 4, 5, 6 years, so is
at least.
Yeah.
Yes, but I think our 2007 was the last
time we adjusted
them.
So.
Yeah.
You know, the we have had conversations about looking at an instructional fee that may be used for technology purposes. But I think as Mike, you know, has a chance a little later in the finance meeting to talk about the 3-year technology plan, we thought maybe that would be something we'd want to look at down the road a little bit where we might do a technology fee as we get closer to that one-to-one actual implementation.
There are a number of districts that are now implementing technology fees.
Yeah.
I've been reading about it in the paper and so forth. So
we just didn't think right now was the time to do that.
Right.
So I have a question.
I'm sorry, Dan.
So we have this year, are we anticipating the same amount, $402,000 in revenue from that?
I think, you know, I think we're right at about $365,000 so far this year. So I believe most of the fees have been paid, maybe some spring fees and so forth. But we would expect it to be right in that neighborhood.
Then there's, I'm just on the same line, there's $30,000 in transportation. Who pays for that?
Those
are the field trip
fees?
Yeah.
Those are the field trip fees that are assessed to the students. Any other questions? Then the final item that I'll be bringing you this evening, although Mike will be starting up shortly, and that is the adoption of amendment to Glen Ellen School District 41-403 plan retirement plan. And what that is with the current plan that we have in place, we do not allow new employees to roll over their existing 403B plans. And we've had a number of requests for us to allow employees to do that, to allow them to consolidate their 403B plans. So from a previous employer, instead of having one, two, or three plans out there, we'll just take, we won't take, but it'll be put, we will allow a rollover from an existing plan into one of the plans that we have in place currently. No exposure to the district, no additional expenditures to the district.
How long have, How long have people been able to do this on other districts? Like 20 years?
Rollovers.
Rollovers or 403?
Rollovers to your 403.
I don't think it's been.
Or whatever.
We just gotten the request within the past year or two for us to allow rollovers.
I'd say it's a probably a relatively.
I mean, because you've been able to do this in 401ks for years.
Well, it's up to each company.
Right, but in 2009, I think you, sorry. In 2009, I know. Who's here? In 2009, the IRS said a 403B had to start working like a 401K. So behind the scenes prior to that, they were probably doing who knows what. And when we set up the original this plan for 41B, we didn't allow rollovers because we didn't know enough about it, because tax implications and liabilities were going to be recommended for transfers. Because when we then take the transfer, we don't know where the money came from, whether it was done correctly or not. But a rollover is clean. They have to cash it out and then roll it into there. You know, so more than likely, rollovers have been happening back in the day, but not under the same compliance issues that we have to adhere to now since 2009. And so this is why we're asking to amend the plan, so we now know about it. Attorneys, we check with our third party administrator, and it's clean, and we'd like to offer this for employees.
And it's handled by a third party administrator now, whereas years ago it would have been handled by employees within, and so the risk factors were much greater.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, what? Most people want to roll out. But now we have CPI. That's a third-party administrator for our plan. We had one outfit. They went out of business. I would say we had that for about 3 years.
And once you roll in, you can't roll it out. Once it's commingled, I assume, at any old time.
You have this, then you fall under the same distribution rules that you normally would. So you have 59 and a half terminated or roll it over or whatever.
Right,
so, yeah. So, again, it's either roll it to my own self-directed IRA or I can roll it into another vehicle here.
It's no brainer.
Yeah.
So we'll bring this to the board for discussion and adoption in any other questions on that item? Then what I'm going to do is Mike Wood is here this evening. He's going to be presenting the next three items, the three-year technology plan, the Hadley LMC technology refresh, and the elementary music department iPad proposal. So I'll let Mike have the floor.
Okay, and I'm going to start some of the things that we have accomplished over the last 4 years, so kind of the building blocks that have brought us to this point. A couple years ago, we purchased 550 netbooks that are used by the students here at Hadley, 250 desktops that are for staff and other presentation and office staff materials here at Hadley as well. That was one rollout we did 2 years ago. Last year, we did 245 desktops and 550 laptops at all four elementary schools. As well as 400 iPads that we pulled out, and those have been kind of been intermittent purchases or proposals that have come to us. At this point, we've got about 400 in the district, 300 that are used for gen ed purposes, and then another 100 that are used for special ed purposes. We replaced our entire infrastructure, our switching infrastructure, about 4 years ago. So all of the classroom switches, as well as all the core switches that we have in each building, were replaced to bring us more up to date and fulfill the current standards. Last summer, we replaced the entire wireless infrastructure throughout the district. So, again, it gives us a lot of wireless bandwidth as well as more capacity and density for all the wireless devices that we're starting to see more and more in the district. So, that was accomplished last summer.
We implemented a new student information system. That's actually over a year ago. We did that. As well as smart board rollouts with projectors. That was a two-phase rollout, 75 whole years. We completed that last summer. So now every instructional space in the district has a smart board with a projector. Just after the holidays, we upgraded our internet bandwidth. We went from 20 meg to 250 meg, again, to accommodate the increased use of the internet as well as the increased number of devices that we have in the district. We also replaced and expanded our existing security camera system. So it's another project that's kind of been phased in over the last few years, and Bob and Dave and I just did another update to that a few months ago. So first thing coming, I'll bring this in stages through the year, and with the first year, I've got a couple things that are on the board agenda. I'll try to address those as we go. First thing that you've already seen, it comes for a discussion tonight, are the printers. This is a replacement of every printer in the district. We've currently got about 310 desktop black and white printers that were used throughout the district in classrooms and offices, as well as about 11 color printers. So what this is going to do for us is basically replace all of those printers. Previously, we had done the printer rollout in three stages. We did this building, then we did the grade schools, and then we did the color printers. So in those three stages, that entire rollout came to about $200,000. With this rollout, we're going to replace all of those printers one-to-one for just under $90,000. And since the lease is expiring, we use those on a fair market value lease, so we have no intention of keeping those printers. So at the end of this lease, we'll go back to the leasing company, so we're not having to be concerned with disposal or the cost of that. Leasing company takes those back, so we'll need to replace those with something. This is our recommendation. It's up for discussion tonight. The Hadley LMC, now this is one that I do have on the board agenda for tonight, and this is the equipment to support the recommendation that the board approved at the last meeting for the redesign of the Hadley Library. This is also going to incorporate the Art Tech Lab. Mr. T's Art Tech Lab is going to be moved up here. So this is all equipment that also includes his lab as well as the remodeled lab that we currently have. So what's going to happen is basically all these labs are going to go away. The Novelli Lab in the corner, the Alcott Lab on the outside, and then the Twain Lab on the inside. And be replaced basically with these two Mac-based labs. Each lab will have about 16 desktops, 15 for student use, one for teacher or instructor use, and they'd also be supported by small iPads or mini iPads, about 16 per lab, and then another 100 mini iPads that would be used for general use in the library. I think there were also 5 MacBook Pros. I just kind of included these two. So the way I broke it down was total cost, annual cost, if we do a lease, and a one-time buy of certain equipment that we're just going to purchase outright rather than leasing. So with the desktops, we'd look to lease those. That'd be on a 5-year, again, fair market value lease. So we would get rid of those after the term of those 5 years. Annual cost for that would be about $10,580. And total cost of that investment, just over $50,000. The mini iPads, that would be 116 total, 16 for the Art Tech Lab, and 100 for the general library as well as the media creation lab that will be in the library. Those also would be purchased on a 3-year fair market value lease. Small devices like that, 3 years is about as long as you're going to get on the batteries. And with the heavy use and handling they'll get, after 3 years they're pretty much hit the wall. So after 3 years we go with the fair market value lease on those. Those as well would go back to the leasing company at the end of that lease. Smart boards, we have 2 smart boards, one in each lab with projector and cable. And that's one that's getting here. Our just miscellaneous items, and that's basically we need 3 switches to connect all of this wiring in back to our core. We need 2 or 3 desktops for the circulation area, some cabling, and for the most part, the switches and the desktops I think I already have. So that may be money we don't even need to spend. I think that stuff we can already incorporate in. So this would be the collection of equipment that we would have for the library. It comes to a total of about $133,241.25. Annual lease cost on that would be $27,578.13. And one-time costs, the smart boards and the miscellaneous equipment, we'll just purchase those outright. We're not going to lease those.
Those would be expected to last longer than 3 to 5 years as well. So any questions on that particular recommendation?
You talk about the Mac Pro servers. That's for those regulations?
No, the Mac Pro servers are two. And one is going to be for the media creation lab. The other would be for the applied tech lab. Initially, they were going to use those for storage and interconnecting those labs. We may further look at other services that they provide. We're going to be kind of on a learning curve with the Mac technology ourselves. So
yeah, just like the servers are set to be refreshed this quarter. That's why I don't intend to buy these.
And the servers, I'll get to those as well, because that will be a different recommendation for next year. But for this particular lab setting, it may at least at first be more of an autonomous lab rather than connecting in with our Microsoft network and the securities that go along with that. So we're going to leverage the Mac technology and the Mac servers for storage and then even publishing possibilities. So rather than storing everything on our local network and talking with Chris Abbott and Frank, they'd like the opportunity to be able to publish that information on some security website rather than, and this might be a good thing for us to be able to do that. So we're still exploring those possibilities as well. Anything else, Ron? And the elementary LMCs. Now, with this library and the grade school libraries, we haven't refreshed those since 2005. That's basically when we replaced all of the desktops in the existing labs, as well as any of the miscellaneous equipment they had in the libraries themselves, maybe five or six desktops. And after meeting with the LFC coordinators and talking about what their needs were and what they saw their libraries looking like 3 to 5 years from now, and other things that have been also discussed, we decided to eliminate the existing labs. The labs would go away as we know them. The static desktop environment, that traditional lab experience, would go away in favor of a more mobile solution. So we looked at 150 laptops total, that 38 laptops in the library. These would be laptops more like what the administrators would use. So lighter, more powerful, more capable than a standard laptop we use in a classroom from time to time. We want these laptops to be able to handle big projects, multimedia kinds of projects, as well as support the day-to-day that goes on in the library. And 38 laptops per library would offer enough for a full classroom set, 30, one per student, while still having 8 additional for things like self-checkout, look up books, research. So they can break all 38 out into small group work. And that seemed to be a sufficient total for those. And as far as the existing labs or the labs as we know them, those spaces would be repurposed for other needs that the buildings may have. Laptops would come to $138,750. Those we would lease on a 3-year fair market value lease. Annual cost for that would be $46,250. We'd also need storage carts, so we planned on 2 storage carts per library. That would be enough to house that equipment. And those we just purchase outright and keep those forever. I mean, those should last for the foreseeable future. Total cost of the project, $147,550. Annual cost on the 3-year fair market value lease, again, would be $46,250. That will be a recommendation that I plan on bringing to the next meeting, which I think is the 8th. And pricing on this is still to be determined. These are kind of rough prices on this. I'm still working with some vendors to get solid pricing. I should have that by the end of this week. Okay, the elementary laptops. So one thing that we've talked about and we've heard from teachers is we still don't have enough equipment. We don't have enough technology in our classrooms to achieve our goals. And a couple things are driving this. First of all, most of our assessments now are online or moving to being online. So whether it's math, COGAS, or now CAR test, which is the old ISAT, which will be going away after next year, we need to be prepared for that kind of one-to-one need that we're going to have in classrooms, even if for nothing else, to be able to deliver these assessments. So as we talk to the teachers more, and we try to get an idea of, well, how much would be enough to be able to support these, as well as just the day-to-day instructional needs that they have,
we came to was in kindergarten, they need 6 laptops. In first grade, they would need 8. At second grade and third grade, they'd want 10 laptops. And in fourth and fifth grade, they want a 1-to-1. They want a 1-to-1 ratio laptop to student. So that'd be 30. They also would like some other supplemental technology, like iPads, something, or tablets, something that's a little newer and a little lighter, easier for them to use with some of the younger students. So for iPads, we looked at 6 for grades kindergarten and first. At second through fifth, they felt 3 would be enough just to combine. So at kindergarten, that would give you 12 devices in each classroom for kindergartens to use. Yes, sir.
How would these laptops, when you brought us those little netbooks, that was Hadley Classroom?
Right.
Why wouldn't you do the same thing for the elementary?
Well, we may, but I kind of, first of all, the netbooks that we bought here, that's a technology or a platform that's kind of going away. And I don't really like the idea of going backwards. So what we'll look at is something that's going to be comparable in price, but more capable in performance. So, and these again are very rough numbers. I'm still working with the vendor. This is something that I want to bring to you on the 8th. So I'm trying to work those specs out and get as good a price on those as we can get, because total we'd be looking at about 1,650 laptops to satisfy the request here. So I'm still working with them. These are still very rough numbers. I'll have those much more firm by the end of the week, I hope. But that would be the quantity we'd be looking at, about 1,650 devices for the laptops. And I believe it was about another 81, because as I said before, we have 300 iPads in the district. We're going to take those 300, we're going to divide those up, and we're going to plug them in here. So we need another 80 to 81 to fulfill the total request for iPads. Now, for the laptops, what the plan would be, the 550 that we purchased last year for the grade schools would be moved here to have them. Then we'd have 550 netbooks plus another 550 laptops. That gives us 1,100 devices here at Hadley, which is pretty close to a 1-to-1. You know, when you consider some kids have to go to gym at some point, or they'll use Mr. T's lab, or they'll use. So there will be times when, you know, other students will be doing other things that don't require them to have a device. So here we have a true 1-to-1 to be able to help support not just the day-to-day instruction, but also the assessments that are coming, particularly math and the McCarthy assessment. It's going to really require more of a 1-to-1 at our grades at our junior high. And in order to also support this, we need storage cards. I figured it'd be about 140 storage cards we would need to be able to secure and store all of this equipment. We also have some cabinets we purchased last year that'll handle some of the smaller devices, like the iPads, remote controls, clickers, those sorts of things. And the iPads total would come to about $45,198. All of this equipment we would lease. The laptops and the iPads would be on a 3-year fair market value lease. The storage cards would be on a 5-year dollar buyout, because we would plan on keeping those. So the total of that project comes to just over $1 million in equipment. Annual lease costs would be up $335,955 for the total project, for the annual lease cost over, well, part of it would be over 3 years, part would be over 5 for the cards. This is, I believe, something else.
Just before you go a little bit further, I just want to preempt sort of these big numbers and talk a little bit about that 3-year plan, that when we brought the new long-range plan, we said that, capital projects are always something where we look to put money in long-term and make sure that we're maintaining our infrastructure. This is the same type of thing that we said. In the next round of the long-range plan, technology is really going to be an area where we're going to see tremendous growth, and a plan that is able to be fluid on a 3-year cycle, but also where we're going to be investing some money over the course of the next 3 years. So I know those numbers are high. I just wanted to put it back into the context of where we were in the long-range plan.
What's the oldest computer in the district after this?
After this rollout, what's the oldest computer?
I got to believe every computer is on a current lease. There's nothing.
It will be very close.
The oldest machines that we'll have will be the ones we're getting rid of, and those are about 8. They'll be about 8 years old this summer.
Where are those right now?
Pardon?
Where are those right now?
Perhaps.
Okay, in these labs. Most of the classrooms, I thought,
are... All the classrooms are pretty much already there.
Yeah. And we've got smaller numbers. I mean, so we're building those numbers larger for mobile devices over the course of the next year.
I'm fine. I want to know the actual specs of what you're buying. That's all.
Yeah, the building blocks are kind of in place now to be able to put together the true one-to-one. And the specs we're looking at just for the laptops and the desktops, just a quick overview. I'm basically just looking at an i3 processor. I'd like to get the SSD drives on 128 gig.
Right. I don't know what your most frequent maintenance is on a laptop. If it's a hard drive, that you're going to eliminate that by going to a...
Most frequent maintenance on a laptop is somebody pulled the keys off.
Keys?
That's about the most...
I can't see storage being a huge problem. You know, somebody's not storing 10 years worth of video, like at home,
No, on the local hard drive, no.
Actually, in school, there's so many things you're going to do.
Yeah, and at this point, it's getting where 320 gig is about the smallest drive you can get.
Right, but I'm saying an SSD, if you get
128. That's about the lowest end, too, but that's still plenty of storage to do the kind of...
Right, that's what I'm thinking for every laptop.
Yeah, because we're not going to save anything on the walls. Okay, so the elementary iPad recommendation, this is something I did bring to you. It was a proposal that was brought to me by the elementary music department. They were interested in a collection of 5 iPads that they could use within their classroom. We've already adopted that platform here. As a matter of fact, I met with the music teachers, the heavy music teachers on Friday, and they like more too. So that's something that I think we'll bring in the fall. This is a relatively small proposal. It would provide for 20 iPads, so it's 2 bundles of 10. We'll just buy these outright. We have the dollars this year to buy them, and it just comes in just over $12,000. And then that would take care. That would be a little bit more expensive.
And Mike, how are they using them again? I know that we talked about Jim and
the proposal is in your.
It's
in the finance.
They've got a lot of software. Yeah.
Right, and I think they've also shared some ideas with. Then there's also another recommendation that came from the elementary PE department. This is something that will phase in over two years. What they would like is a projection solution. I don't know if you've seen the projector we got at Churchill. We got 2 of them. One in the multi-purpose room, the long throw projectors. So we look at a solution like that with the big screen wired back to a certain location where they can plug in their laptop, their iPad. They looked at some console games that they were interested in as the kids. So the total cost of this, and this is just based on the numbers that I had gotten from the Churchill presentation. So it comes to somewhere around $36,000. This is another one that I still have to look at the vendors on, but I'm approximating that the cost would be about the same as what we had paid for the projectors at Churchill, and that was somewhere around $12,000 per application. Okay, so for this year, these would be the big project. So we'd have the printers, the Hadley LMC refresh here, the elementary refresh, music iPads, the elementary classroom technology, which would be the big purchase of the 1,650 laptops and about 81 iPads that would bring us more to a one-to-one, pretty much a one-to-one from 4th grade to 8th grade in preparation for the real shift, which would come in 14-15. Students will have access to these devices, not just here at school, but to take them home, do their homework, publish their work. So this kind of gives us that start. The other thing to keep in mind is the netbooks that we purchased here had a couple of years ago, they're going to come off of this. So next year we'll have this fee of 1,100. But then the next year after that, half of those are going to go away. And we'll talk about that with the next year's proposals there. Next thing I'd like to do for the next school year, and now we're talking about 14-15, is I'd like to implement a virtual server solution here. And I know this is something I talked about even 3 years ago, the last time I presented, was consolidating our hardware platform, bringing it into a virtual server environment. The benefits of this would be a unified hardware platform, as well as long-term cost savings for the district. We wouldn't be looking at replacing server hardware anymore. We're going to talk about $4,000 to $6,000 per server, considering we have about 30 servers in this district that would need to constantly be refreshed.
bring all those hardware platforms into one service. Reduction of power consumption, obviously without all those servers drawing power, we wouldn't need nearly as much to support that, as well as it would free up a good deal of space in what we really have for our servers. So, as well as being much easier to implement new servers as we need them. So every time we add a new service like data warehouse, oh, it requires a new server. So rather than having to spend the $5,000-$6,000 to buy that server, we just buy a license for server. We're done. We just have to incorporate the server.
So this is in the cloud. It's a service you're buying.
This will be a.
This is running virtualization on existing hardware or new hardware.
New hardware.
That you can.
Right. So
you can virtually run your different.
Right. The one I've spec'd out so far and met with the vendor is a Cisco solution using VMware.
Right.
So the hardware is all Cisco based. And the software is provided by VM. So if you can picture just this big array of hard drives.
Yeah, I'm very familiar
with it. So basically then we just layer on servers from there. But this would handle our server environment. The next thing we may look at would be a desktop virtualization environment. To this point, we haven't really needed one. But this would provide for the server. Okay, the one-to-one, as I mentioned earlier, at Hadley, we'll lose half of the fleet that we currently have, 550 laptops. So when I put this together, and again, very rough numbers, before really arriving at a specific amount or a platform we would use, I figured in about 500 devices, whatever they may be, tablets, laptops, at about $500. So looking at somewhere about $300,000 for that investment. With an annual cost of just under $100,000. So as we move into next year, we're going to look more at a bring-your-own-device kind of model, rather than the district having to provide, you know, almost $100,000 worth of equipment annually on a lease term. What we can do with a bring-your-own-device model, students bringing their own equipment in here. Most of what we're going to provide at this point is going to be web-enabled or web-based. This may be where we might have to start looking at a desktop virtualization if we have some applications the students need to get to. But at any rate, we're still going to be responsible for providing a certain amount of equipment to students that they can't provide, who can't get it for themselves. So.
Now, when you say you're losing equipment, I guess maybe I need to understand what the fair market piece is. You paid 3 years for this equipment, right? It's got to be worth something at the end of that. So, or you paid for it, one or the other. So you've just given the money, and then they take the equipment at the end of that time.
Right. And a device like
that. You're showing us the full price of the equipment, and if you went and bought it, so I'm guessing.
But the way that those are usually structured is your annual payment wouldn't even be as much as if you were to buy it outright. So it's a little less than that, as well as the depreciation that goes along with, say, a Netbook after 3 years. The battery alone is going to cost you probably about $50, $60 to replace. And usually they try to resell these at maybe $100 to $150. And with the leasing company we go through, they do sell them. And they do offer us an opportunity to make some money back on them. Not a lot, but
whether or not it's obsolete after 3 years, you can decide to deploy it for another year.
You could if we decided to go on a dollar buyout.
I thought.
But with this quantity of equipment, then we also have to deal with the disposal and the cost that goes along with it. So, I thought between those two, I'd rather have the leasing company come and take it, sell it. The district could benefit somewhat financially, great. I wouldn't expect a lot out of that. But it does take off the disposal costs, which can be pretty hefty when you're talking about a good deal of equipment. So it just seemed to be a fair trade-off. The other thing we can look at for these kind of leases is a three-year fair market value or a $300 buyout. Maybe at the end of those 3 years, that student has that laptop paid up, they pay us a dollar, it's there. And then, so that'd be another option we can look at.
Do we have a sense of how many students do not have their own computers at home? Or?
Not really. At least not that something they could bring here to be used.
We have a better sense of which of our families don't have internet access.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I was thinking through community outreach we started about 3 years ago, the people donating, and then a local TMC Squared would cleanse them and stuff, and then we'd get them out, right? So I was just wondering if we had a sense of that, but you're right. I think you said that already.
Those are things that we'll need to talk about this coming
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
This is just the preparation stage.
Right.
So this plan is kind of the starter kit to that one-to-one. And then next year we're going to look at what makes more sense financially and then structurally and what we can manage over that period of time.
Yeah.
So those are definitely the conversations we'll have this coming year.
So for the Apple, like for the music, 20 copies of the software program, is it 41 user in the iTunes store? I mean, how do you license 20 copies?
That is a good question.
I know if I buy it once in my name, I can log into two Mac machines at home and download the same software.
Right, but you're limited by
I know there's a license of what you're supposed to do, but do they site license it? I mean, if you get a new iPad in 3 years, do you still own
right.
the...
Well, what we involved ourselves is their volume licensing program.
Right.
Apple does have that. It still doesn't quite get us around all of these different iPads having a different collection of apps. So what we did this year is we invested into a cloud solution, reasonable price. It was about $2,500. We did an annual subscription. Allows us up to 800 devices. And we're going to start using this over the break. So what it does is we push our apps up to their cloud. Then we have a collection, we have an inventory of our apps. There's a URL we get on all of these iPads. Goes out to that cloud, registers with it. So now we can track all of our iPads. And now we can cluster them together, push apps down all at once, or we can even send them individual machines. So it's a way for us to better handle our licensing without constantly having to download these apps to different machines, plug those devices into those individual machines. So one we're going to try for a year, see how we like it. And there's a lot of solutions out there that offer the same thing. So, but it seemed to be a quick and easy and reasonably priced way for us to start managing the apps and the inventory that we have for the iPads. That has been a struggle, believe me. Copiers, they'll be coming up to lease again. We'll relieve Bob of that duty if he doesn't mind. So the copiers will come up, and I'm just using rough estimates of what we paid for them last year. Again, we probably look at a three-year lease on those at the end of the term of that lease. The whole just as the copies we currently have will go away at the end of this lease. This would be the final phase of the PE rollout. So in addition to having the projection, the video equipment, they also want some sound equipment, something that they've heard. This equipment will also serve just beyond PE. It will allow for functions, whether they're parent functions or their assemblies or teacher meetings. So we use our gyms quite frequently for those sorts of things. And, so we have projection and sound and a solution that should last us a good 8 to 10 years, if not more. Again, this is just a very rough estimate. We might look at sound incorporated again, and we'll see what other options are out there. But that'll be something we'll research and come up with a real recommendation next year.
And could I just interrupt again? That sure. That probably you'll be seeing the PE curriculum presentation, which will include their list of technology, and we've created a priority list out of that wish list that they've given us, and Karen has decided what she would put into her. Area and what Mike would put into his. So you still haven't seen that yet, but this is giving you a glimpse into it.
And these are just rough estimates of what we think that equipment's going to cost. So for the 14-15 year, the big projects we look at would be the virtual server solution, heavy student devices to replace the 550 that would be coming off lease that year, copy refresh, as well as the PE technology. So the total cost would be $817,370. Lease obligations over $102,000, and then one-time cost for any purchases would be just under $210,000. So when we get into 15-16, now we're looking to possibly replace our projectors. At this point, our infrastructure should be pretty solid based on all the equipment we've already replaced and refreshed. We take care of the lab, we take care of the classrooms. We've got a one-to-one up and running here at the junior high. As a matter of fact, a one-to-one going from fourth all the way to eighth year. So now we're looking at some of the other equipment that's starting to age, things like the projectors. And that was sort of a hodgepodge rollout that went on for years. So kind of start from the back and work our way forward. But ideally, we just assume replace these just like we did the smart boards.
Are these the Elmos?
These are not. These are the classroom projectors, the LCD.
Oh, up in the. Okay.
Right, they generally hang from the ceiling.
Yeah.
We look at the wall mount. There's wall mounted projectors now. We see the technologies available in 10 years.
Yeah.
They change. But those are a little easier to manage and mount. Usually power and infrastructure is already there on the wall for them, so you don't need an electrician to come out. So we look at probably about 75 the first year, another 75 the second year, and we complete our rollout within 2 years.
Works with a smart board?
It's just a projector. Any projector will work with a smart board. It's just a matter of...
I mean, is that what we do today?
Yes.
We use the existing projectors?
They're in the room. And that's kind of a mix of old NECs, Epsons. So they've been purchased over years. I think the oldest in the district are probably 7 years old now. So by the time we get to this point, some of them are going to be...
I just remember we did a flood. I swear my first year.
We did. And that's why I'm saying it's been rolled out over years. So the first rollout came probably about 7 years ago, and then we sort of plugged maybe 30, 40, 50 in here and there as we went. This would do a much quicker, more aggressive approach to refreshing these so we don't have five-year-old technology blending in with brand-new technology and how compatible
are they. I can't say that with computers, but projectors, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's really, can it display this resolution?
Right.
I mean, that's really...
And a lot of the old ones can't. They can't do 16.9.
And that's I understand it. So what are the specs that you are looking to get?
Well, it'd be wise to 16.9 without getting into having not researched it then in the ages yet, but we would know we would need to look at replacing some of those old machines, particularly the old NECs, which isn't a huge fleet, but it's probably about a third of our fleet out there. Have the device refresh again, so we have to keep that in mind. This is again as the placeholder, depending on what kind of devices we land on and what kind of impact to bring your own device has financially. So we at least want to put a placeholder in there to provide some. Then we might look at some of our core switches. By this point, those core switches are going to be hitting about 80 years old, and some of those probably need to be looked at while we replace them. We can get up on those to incorporate our voice over IP, because those are switches that we haven't replaced since they've gone into service. So we might need to look at restructuring some of our core switching equipment, but classroom switches should be good for several years to come. So just a placeholder, something we want to look at. Possibly refreshing or expanding upon that in the 15-16 range. So for right now, these 3 years down the road, we're doing a possible projector refresh, continue to keep the Hadley technology placeholders for that, as well as looking at any core switching equipment that we might need to refresh. Any questions?
How do you plan on bidding this for all the common types of equipment? Well, like all the PCs, I assume the Macs you're getting right from Apple or the educational electric. Like all the PCs, are you going to bundle them all together?
If it's
trying to, one vendor?
We would stick with a single platform. So whether that's PC or Mac, it's really whatever, or tablet, whatever becomes the best value and meets our educational needs, that's what we'll go with. And it would be the most cost effective. It would be a single platform. We wouldn't mix and match.
No, I just meant there's a lot of equipment here. I didn't know if you're looking to just go with. I forgot a couple vendors usually.
Tiger Direct,
the vendor. It's like it's one big order that you want to see which vendor is going to give you the best volume discount, or are you going to break it up?
I've been trying to go with what's going to get me the best volume discount.
Right.
I mean, obviously, any of the Apple stuff, I pretty much
set right then there's a set price for that.
But for the desktops, for the laptops, I try to bundle those as best I can with the vendors. I haven't mixed and matched them as much like the printers and throwing those out as much, but just because of the confusion that goes along with the dollars and all that. But I always try to bundle as much as I can with any single vendor to get the best price.
Okay.
Mike, I just was curious. I think it's the 2014 thing.
Members of the public, I don't mean to be reprimanding you, but we are in the middle of a finance meeting right now, and so it's an active meeting. And if you want to talk, we certainly welcome you stepping outside to have a conversation until we finish in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
So, you know, one thing I'd be curious about is, because at 2014-15, I'm just curious what the, you know, what is your annual cost of this period going to be?
Sorry, what the annual cost was for the lease equipment with you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got that number. I can get that to you, what that number would look like as well as things like the switching equipment, which was a $90,000 commitment that's falling off this year. And the last thing would be, you know, is there, it seems like there's a lot of technology. Is there some way you can look at the sample rate to show that?
Because we're at this rate, which is why you need, you know what I mean,
a couple of pearl products I looked at out there, and basically it tracks what's being used, what kind of applications are being used. With the amount of equipment we have, they could be cost-sensitive, we can identify user license. But I'm always looking for something that kind of reports back to us, who's using what, how often is it being used. That's what
I guess I was thinking a little bit more than that, saying, hey, this is why.
Well, we replaced the machines that were in there last summer with the models you see here. So the machines we replaced at that time were about 7 years old. We replaced them with these, and now they're about 7 years old. So those haven't, none of those have been replaced or refreshed since 2005, and those came in 2006.
Okay. So
it's
similar to these?
It's similar in age, yeah.
Okay.
Anything else?
Is that it? Your timing was perfect. It's hard to contain now.
No other questions for Mike then? Okay, then we have a few minutes left. We'll conclude this evening's meeting on the Finance and Facilities Committee, and we'll start up again in about 5 minutes.